Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, and yes, this is Eagles Live, and yes, we are back after an extended period of preparation. You know, free agency came and went, good time, a lot of activity, and now it's time to look at the NFL draft. Really exciting period of time here with the Philadelphia Eagles and around the NFL, the offseason conditioning program beginning today. We'll get you caught up with all of that throughout the week. Of course, free agency continues, albeit at a very slow pace. And the eye is on the draft, which starts May 8th. And the Eagles with the 22nd pick in the draft, they've got six selections in the seven-round process. So as we get closer to that, we'll narrow in on the focus. We'll talk a little draft in just a bit here, as well as a catch-up with some behind enemy lines, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the subject today. Hope you're having a great Eagles day. Good to say that. Spring has sprung in Philadelphia, and with that, we look forward to the 2014 season. We start with today's headlines, so let's do it. Yes, the offseason conditioning program is underway here at the NovaCare Complex, and reportedly, offensive guard Evan Mathis, part of the workouts. Now, you remember back a few weeks ago, Mathis reportedly talking about his desire for a new contract, and then there were reportedly talks of the Eagles saying, hey, if you want a new contract, go work out a trade. And then there was some question whether Mathis would be here for these workouts. According to the reports, he is here today. We have not seen him. The players have been off on their workouts and really kind of out of eyesight to us. And whenever we hear of players here, we will pass that information on to you. We've got the Men's Academy this weekend. Troy Vincent and John Runyon part of the action. Tickets remain for that. They are available on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Runyon, the keynote speaker on Saturday, telling his fascinating story, going from the trenches in the NFL to hand-to-hand combat in the political field. And Troy Vincent, the executive vice president, second in command in the NFL, member of the Eagles Hall of Fame now, potentially is going to be the commissioner in the NFL someday. He will speak to the group on Sunday. So again, tickets available on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Our complete draft coverage begins Monday, May 5. We will be live, of course, on Thursday, May 8th. Merrill Reese joins me in studio. We'll have Greg Cosell from NFL Films. We'll have Tony Pauline up at Radio City Music Hall. So we will have the very, very, very up-to-the-minute information for you on what the Eagles do in the draft. And coming up next here, Tony Pauline joins me. A little chatter about the draft. Eagles have the 22nd pick. What will they do? Well, we're going to find out from Pauline on the other side. A bit later on, we'll get to your phone calls. We welcome you back. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thrilled to be here, and we'll return in just one moment.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
All Are you hungry for the 2014 Eagles season? Of course you are. Well, we've got a great promotion for you, brought to us and to you by our friends from Dietz and Watson. It's our hashtag Dietz Draft. You enter to win on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and tell us why you are the ultimate Eagles fan, and you could announce the Philadelphia Eagles fourth round draft pick on Saturday, May 10th at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Enter at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. All right, time to get into the draft, and to do so, we bring in our draft insider via Skype. Tony Pauline, draftinsiders.net, joins us. He'll be with us during draft weekend and throughout this week. Tony, how are you today? And I sit here a week and a half, or 2 weeks and a half, 2.5 weeks before the draft, and I don't think I can tell you what's going to happen in the first rounds at the top of the draft. Why don't you tell me?
Well, I don't know what teams are going to pick what players, but I think we know what players are going to go at the top of the draft. Obviously, Houston's sitting there with the first pick. They're deciding, you know, do they take Jadeveon Clowney? Do they take the impact defensive player, the basically the once-in-a-lifetime sort of player on the defensive side of the ball, even though they're strong at that position? Or do they go for need and take Blake Bortles? You know, Blake Bortles has got a lot of Ben Roethlisberger type of skills, and he's a guy who could lead them into the future. I think after that, we know the players that are going to go in the top five. You got Jadeveon Clowney, you got Blake Bortles, you got Khalil Mack, the outside linebacker from Buffalo, who's going to go early. You got Sammy Watkins, the receivers. You got one of the receiver from Clemson, one of the offensive tackles, probably Jake Matthews of Texas A&M. It's just a matter of what position and where they're going to fall and what teams they're going to end up with.
Tony, the Eagles have obviously been very tight-lipped about their intentions, as teams are. The Eagles have the 22nd pick in round number one. If I were to tell you needs, you know, we've all talked about it. Wide receiver, a pass rusher, maybe help in the secondary, particularly at the safety position. What group of players, give me a few names, who might be available at 22?
Going to be very strong at the receiver position. I know that they like Mike Evans, the big receiver out of Texas A&M, who really made Johnny Manziel's job a lot easier. But the fact is if they want Mike Evans, they're going to have to trade into the top 10 to acquire him. The other two receivers to keep an eye on, Brandon Cooks out of Oregon State, the junior, very much a Chip Kelly type of player, an explosive, almost DeSean Jackson type of skills. You give him the ball in open space, he can score from any part of the field. He's a terrific receiver. You can line him in the flanks, in the slot. You can use him to run reverses. You can use him as a return specialist. He's got that game-breaking speed that Chip Kelly wants that could potentially replace DeSean Jackson. Marquise Lee is another receiver that they like from USC, the junior. Kind of had an off year because he had a knee injury. Reliable pass catcher who does a lot of great things running after the catch, creates yardage, picks up yardage running after the catch, I think would be a good fit for that system. And I think a guy who's really undervalued at this point. I mean, if you go back to last August, a lot of people, including myself, thought Marquise Lee would be a top 10 pick. He had a knee injury. He kind of fell off a bit, but he is great value, and I think that'd be a good fit for the Eagles. If you're looking at pass rushers, really not a lot of top pass rushers after you get past those top three guys, two of them who I mentioned, Jadeveon Clowney of South Carolina, Khalil Mack of Buffalo, as well as Anthony Barr of UCLA. If you're looking for maybe a defensive tackle type or sort of a nose tackle that can play in that one-gap system, you know, maybe Lewis Nix, the guy from Notre Dame. He's kind of fallen off, had a great season in 2012, entered the 2013 season 30 pounds heavier. He looked heavy. He played poorly, had some minor knee issues. But the fact is at the top of his game, he's an impact player on the defensive line, and I think a guy that would fill a need. As far as safeties, you know, Clinton Dix of Alabama gets a lot of play, as does Calvin Pryor of Louisville. I think they're very good players. I just don't know if they're middle of first one type of material.
Tony, question for you. Do you think at this point that the Eagles would have a chance to move up in the draft? And you mentioned some of those players, those wide receivers. What would it take to go up into the top 10 to get, for example, Sammy Watkins, which is ridiculous, top five, but maybe even a Mike Evans?
Yeah, I think if you want Mike Evans, you're going to move to the eighth spot. You're going to have to be able, you're going to have to be willing to part with your second or third round choice, either this year or a second round pick this year, and maybe a second round pick next year. As far as I'm concerned, I think Mike Evans is a very underrated receiver. I don't think people are valuing him enough. He is a game controlling receiver who's got sneaky speed. I would do it if the Eagles think that that's the final piece for their offense.
How volatile will it be, Tony, in this draft? It seems like teams want to acquire more picks. Do you anticipate more movement than usual?
depends on what happens with the first pick. I know the St. Louis Rams really want to move down out of that second spot, which is actually the choice of the Washington Redskins that they acquired in the Robert Griffin trade a few years ago. I think there'll be a lot of talks. What I think will happen is we won't know until the very end what the Houston Texans are going to do. Are they going to take Blake Bortles? Are they going to take Jadeveon Clowney? Are they going to entertain thoughts seriously about trading down? I think there'll be a lot of talk about it, but I think there's enough talent at the top of this draft that teams will be just as happy staying there and selecting one of the offensive tackles or Khalil Mack or Jadeveon Clowney.
You named some wide receivers. Eagles fans obviously very fixated on the wide receiver position. Of Cooks, of Lee, of Evans, let's say, who is the most likely of those three to be on the board and to be the best fit for this Eagles offense?
Absolutely. Either Cooks or Lee. And I would say Brandon Cooks of Oregon State. You know, he's not that big. He's slightly undersized, under 5'10", but he's an explosive player that you can use in a variety of ways. You give him the ball in open space. He's the type of player that Chip Kelly had tremendous success with at the University of Oregon, except he went to Oregon State. So I think that really that Brandon Cooks of Oregon State really fits the Chip Kelly mold.
Well, Tony, we've got a lot of shows to get to, a lot of show to talk about, a lot of draft chatter here the rest of the week. We look forward to speaking with you the rest of the week and, of course, during our draft week coverage. New York City just seems so far away. This 2 weeks, it's killing us, Tony.
And the draft was pushed back 2 weeks. So
yeah.
Usually these would be the final days leading up to the draft in past years.
Yeah. So, hey, we thank you very much, Tony Pauline, draftinsiders.net, our draft expert. We thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And that is Tony Pauline. So we'll hear from him the rest of the week as we inch our way to the 2014 NFL Draft.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
All right, this weekend, it's for the men. The Eagles Academy for Men takes place on Saturday and Sunday right here at the NovaCare Complex. Former Eagles offensive lineman turned rising and then departing politician John Runyon will be the keynote speaker on Saturday. And Eagles cornerback Troy Vincent, a member of the team's Hall of Fame, now an executive vice president in the league, number two to Roger Goodell. He will be the keynote speaker on Sunday. Two very intelligent and insightful men. Do not miss it. There are some tickets available. Please look for some tickets. What a great time. What a great weekend. Get ready for the draft and attend the Men's Academy. Now, a lot has happened since the Eagles went to the playoffs and lost to the Saints in early January. Let's get you caught up on some of the names that have come to Philadelphia, been retained by Philadelphia, and have left Philadelphia. First, players acquired in free agency. It seems so long ago. Malcolm Jenkins signed. He helps the secondary. Chris Maragos, really a special teams player. The Eagles think he can be a stopper on special teams. Brian Braman, also one of those special teams core players. He'll also get a look at the outside linebacker position. Darren Sproles, maybe the marquee addition of the offseason, acquired in a trade from the New Orleans Saints, signed to a 3-year contract a day after he was acquired. Nolan Carroll, good body, long experience, starting experience. He comes into battle for playing time at the cornerback position. Mark Sanchez here to battle for the backup job behind Nick Foles. It'll be two USC products, Sanchez and Matt Barkley. And then Andrew Gardner, the 8th player, formerly from the Houston Texans, a developmental offensive tackle. We'll see what becomes of him. He also acquired in free agency. Eagles signing elsewhere. Michael Vick goes to the Jets. DeSean Jackson to the Redskins. Jason Avant to Carolina. Kurt Coleman to the Minnesota Vikings. Clifton Gethers to the Redskins. Patrick Chung to the New England Patriots. And then players retained. A really big part of what the Eagles wanted to do in this offseason. Riley Cooper, Jeremy Maclin, who at this point, from this perspective, they project as your starting wide receivers. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little bit later on. Cedric Thornton, restricted free agent, re-ups, key player for the Eagles defense. Donnie Jones, obviously a magnificent addition prior to the 2013 season. And Nate Allen, taking a big step forward in 2013, comes back, a 1-year deal for 2014. The NFL schedule, well, we expect it to be released potentially this week. All we know at this point is who the Eagles will play and where they're going to play them. We don't know when, but there's a look at the home schedule, which features a visit from the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, and of course, some tough matchups there. The Carolina Panthers, the Rams improving, Tennessee with a new coaching staff, and the NFC East, always, always tough. The road will be difficult. Lambeau Field, Arizona will not be an easy win at all. Very good team out there. And then, of course, San Francisco moving into its new stadium in Santa Clara, California. Those are the highlights. And, oh, how could I forget? Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. Tough schedule. The Jaguars also part of it. They come to Philadelphia. And they are the subject of our Behind Enemy Lines. Bo Wolf doing the honors, finding out what's going on with the Jaguars, a team that is looking to make it big, along with the Packers trying to take that next level here in 2014.
Thanks, Dave. And because the Eagles play the AFC South this year, we want to take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and their busy offseason. So we bring in Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. And Ryan, it has been a busy offseason for the Jaguars, busy in free agency. We'll start at running back, where one of the best players in franchise history, Maurice Jones-Drew, is gone. Toby Gerhart is in. What does that mean for the Jaguars offense?
Well, definitely a different dynamic. Maurice Jones-Drew, as you said, one of the top players in this franchise's 20-year history, but coming off an injury in 2012, had statistically his worst year in 2013, so they wanted to move on. And, you know, let's face it, they took a little bit of a gamble on Gerhart, who's been Adrian Peterson's backup, but I think what they're going to find is they wanted more yards after contact. They wanted a younger, fresher back and somebody who would accept a role that is a starter, but is also knows they're not going to get 20 carries a game.
Jaguars also reworking the offensive line a bit, paying big money to bring in Zane Beatles, formerly of the Denver Broncos. Is there a sense with all the moves the Jaguars made in free agency that maybe this franchise is ready to take the next step here?
Well, they're confident they're going to take the next step. It's just I don't think that's going to be a playoff step. The expectations are going to be realistic because this roster was just so completely awful when this regime took over, and they had to, you know, tear it down even more to start building it back up. And, you know, coming off the 4-12 season, if they can make a jump to 6-10, you know, regardless who plays quarterback, Chad Henne or a rookie, you know, then they look at next offseason as maybe they can get into contention for a spot in the playoffs. But this year is, you know, year two of this process. They're calling it phase two, but there's still a lot of steps that need to be made.
Well, you touched on it, Ryan. The Jaguars re-signed Chad Henne, but they do have that third overall pick. What is your sense? Do you think they'll go quarterback, or do you think they'll go somewhere else?
I would be stunned if they went quarterback at number three. If they stay at three, I think Sammy Watkins from Clemson, the receiver, he makes a ton of sense. This team needs speed, and they need playmakers, and they especially need that receiver because you can't count on Justin Blackmon, who remains suspended. So that means this team is without a legitimate number one receiver, even if Blackmon hadn't made that to that point yet. So Watkins makes a lot of sense. Regardless of the quarterback, he would make the quarterback better.
All right, well, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union breaks down the Jaguars' offseason here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
All right, thank you.
Well, as part of our continuing series of getting acquainted with the off-seasons of the Eagles' 2014 opponents, we bring in Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press-Gazette. And, Pete, it has been a quiet off-season for the Packers, as is usual under GM Ted Thompson, but a little bit more action in free agency than we've come to expect in years past. Bringing in Julius Peppers, tell us about what he brings to the Packers' defense.
Yeah, usually it's dead silence in the offseason for these guys. So this was it's a pretty big move for Thompson. I think they're hoping Peppers is 34, so this is an old guy who's getting near the end probably. He's a freakish athlete, so they think he's still got at least a year left in him. The contract is 3 years, but it's structured so, you know, they can cut bait after 1 year depending on how things go. And I think they're hoping less is more. He played, close to 90% of the Bears snaps last year. You get the sense that they're probably going to play him almost, mostly on passing downs. And they're just trying to juice up their pass rush, which will help cover up, it covers up any weaknesses in the secondary, the better you rush the passer. They want to have somebody they can put, not necessarily at the outside linebacker opposite Clay Matthews, but just somebody on the other side of the line. So defenses have a little trouble sliding one way or the other, deciding on who they're going to block, because Matthews, they obviously, he's the focus of offensive lines, he's by far their best pass rusher and really their only good one.
So as usual, a lot of re-signings for the Packers: Mike Neal, James Starks, Sam Shields, B.J. Raji. Was there anybody who the Packers, you think, deemed the most important guy to bring back?
You know, I don't think in that whole group, I don't think there was any one guy they felt like they had to get back. They were willing to, they drew the line of what they were going to pay, and they were willing to let guys walk. Raji is the most talented of that group. But if he'd gotten a really good contract offer, they were willing to let him walk. So I think aggregate, they brought back, even though they had a long free agent list, they brought a lot of guys back. I think Neal was, they liked the flexibility that he brings because he can be an inside and outside rusher. He's kind of a poor man's Peppers, I guess. They're both going to play that elephant position. So I don't think there was any one guy who they felt like they had to have back. Just like with James Jones, they would have liked to have had him back, but Oakland offered more money than the Packers were willing to pay, and so they let him walk.
And I guess Jones is probably the biggest name that the Packers did lose. Not, I guess, a huge worry replacing that production with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, but who are the guys who are going to step into Jones' role?
Yeah, it'll be, Jarrett Boykin, who was a second-year guy last year, an undrafted guy out of Virginia Tech. He'll move up to their number three. He's got some ability. He's not, his straight line speed is poor, but he's a big guy with and a big target. And he actually, even though he's not straight line fast, he runs okay after the catch. So, he'll get a lot of catches. The one guy, the wild card in all this, is JerMichael Finley, the tight end. And it's sure looking like, even though McCarthy at the combine made it sound like Finley was going to get cleared medically from neck surgery, it's not looking like it right now. And so I don't know if, that's a playmaker, and that's a guy defenses had to account for and slant their coverages to. So that's, that was probably their second or third most talented, guy in the passing game last season. So that'll be a big loss, and that means tight end will be is a pretty big need in this year's draft.
Well, you talk about the draft. The Packers have the 21st overall pick in the first round, one spot ahead of the Eagles. Is there any sense of where you think the Packers may be leaning there?
Yeah, there's a couple positions. I think the most likely would be either safety or inside linebacker. They need guys who would at least have a chance to start immediately at both those positions. They were both weaknesses last year. So if I were a betting man, I'd say they'll draft those two positions in their first three picks, and there's a pretty good chance they'll draft, you know, one of the two at 21. You can't rule out a tight end if a guy like Eric Ebron, by chance, is still available there. I don't think he will be, but, you know, that'd be somebody to think about. You probably can't rule out defensive line if the right guy is there. They've got, you know, even though they brought Raji back, it's just a one-year deal. He very easily could be gone next year. And they signed a couple guys, but those were one-year deals too. So, you know, Peppers could end up being 1 year. So, you know, they could go D-line. But if I were a betting man, I'd think safety or inside linebacker.
Well, the Eagles and Packers both looking to make a move to the top of the NFC. They'll meet again in Lambeau Field this year. Hopefully this year we'll get Nick Foles and Aaron Rodgers going up against each other. Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette breaks the Packers offseason down for us. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Yeah, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Bo. We will continue to take a look at the Eagles' 2014 opponents as we go through the week and get you ready for the Eagles draft, May 8th to the 10th. We've got full coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Cannot wait for it all to go down. Also, before that, we've got a big event for you that we will broadcast live. And who doesn't want to watch this? The Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders final audition show Monday, May 5th at 7:30 right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our Eagles official mobile app. Watch 60 beautiful finalists compete. We'll have it for you live, so make sure you tune in Monday, May 5th at 7:30. We take your phone calls on the other side, 215-339-6709. Henry from Tampa, stay tuned. We're going to be with you first. Phone calls, let's catch up, everybody. Give us a call. Let's talk Eagles on the other side here on Eagles Live.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Hard work, work.
There you go.
Hard work, work.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hungry for 2014? The Eagles, coming off that NFC East title? Sure you are. You can enter to win on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's our hashtag Deets Draft. We want you to tell us why you are the ultimate Eagles fan, and you could announce the Eagles' fourth-round draft pick at Radio City Music Hall. That's on draft day number 3 on Saturday, May 10th. Enter to win at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, our hashtag Deets Draft. All right, let's take the phone calls here, 215-339-6709. Henry in Tampa, Florida joins us. Henry, hello.
Hello, my friend. How was your Easter?
Everything was great. Thank you. How was yours?
Oh, great. Happy good. Eagles Day, by the way.
You too, man.
Yeah, I was shocked with the Eagles doing all season.
Okay, tell me.
I don't know the players that well. We got the Saints running back.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
the other players, too.
Yeah, hey, that's great. You know what, Henry? Thank you. We've got the graphic up. Thank you for the phone call. We take a look again here at the Eagles' offseason moves, and a lot of turnover on this roster, no question about it. A 10-6 team. The goal here is to challenge every part of the roster. And, I mean, the Eagles have done that. Big changes at wide receiver, obviously. Big changes in the secondary, clearly. The addition of Darren Sproles gives the Eagles a kind of weapon they just haven't had. Be really, really fascinating to see what Chip Kelly does with Darren Sproles. Dynamic player as a, you know, move kind of matchup nightmare. And the Eagles plan to use him in a variety of ways, running back, receiver, move him around the formation, maybe a little bit like Brian Westbrook was used in the 2000s. Let's go to Philadelphia here. Jeremy joins us in Eagles Live. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Tell me what you think our record going to look at the end of the year.
Thank you for the phone call, Jeremy. I mean, look, I think it's a really good football team. I don't think this roster is complete. I think that there are going to be many, 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 many moves, some of which we just do not anticipate. I think it's going to be tougher in 2014 than it was in 2013. It's obviously a first-place schedule. Some of those road games, Indianapolis and San Francisco and Green Bay and Arizona, tough, tough games. So we take a look at the opponents. We do think that the schedule potentially comes out this week and we'll have the dates and the times. But, hey, the Eagles have to play really good football. And they to improve on 10-6, win in the division and then take care of business at home, and then we'll see what happens. Chris in Virginia joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, Chris.
Yeah, man, ready for another season.
Yes.
Chip's second run. It's going to be good. Excited about the off-season moves and everything.
Yeah.
It's ready, man. It's exciting times, Dave.
Yeah, it is exciting times. What did you like about the offseason? What do you still have questions on? And what holes do you see with this team?
I like that we brought in, it seems like we brought in good character guys that are, you know, football players, not kind of me first guys, team players. I still think we got some holes on defense we need to address, wide receiver. You know, I just trust in Chip at this point.
Yeah, wide receiver is interesting. You know, when you release a dynamic player like Deshaun, and a reliable slot receiver like Jason Avant, and then you look at the wide receiver, you say, okay, projection, let's just play around here on paper. Riley Cooper's one starter. Jeremy Maclin's one starter. Who's your third receiver? Demaris Johnson? Brad Smith?
I think you have to
factor in Zach Ertz as a slot receiver, Darren Sproles as a receiver. And then let's be honest, at some point here, the Eagles are going to add to that position. And like you say, we trust in Chip. There's no way that Chip Kelly is going to shortchange himself in any capacity, especially on the offensive side of the football. That is his, you know, his bailiwick, if you will. That is where he excelled in college. He puts together dynamic offenses that score points. And hey, let's see what he does in the draft, before the draft, even after the draft.
Yeah, the thing I like about Chip is everything is planned out, and, you know, according to the details, nothing's kind of on the whim, and you know,
yeah,
everything's planned out. It's great, you know, compared to, you know, where we were last year, wondering how he's going to do. It's just exciting times. They will let you get some other callers, and let's have a great Eagles day.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much, and good point. Good phone call. Everything that Chip does is planned out. I mean, this is not – none of these moves made in the offseason were spur-of-the-moment reaction moves, emotional moves. Eagles had all of this stuff planned out and certainly have their plan in place for the draft. Now, we're not going to know until we're right there around 19-20 in round one, assuming the Eagles don't move up, who's available from that little pile of players, which direction they might go in round number one on Thursday, May 8th. Let's go to Atlanta and talk to Marcel, who joins us in Eagles Live. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm fired up about this year.
Good.
I'm really excited.
Good.
I just wanted to say that, listen, I'm going to get stuck on what happened with Deshaun because, to be honest with you, I'm a regular guy. There's nothing that I am going to say that I believe that Chip and Howie haven't already talked about. So I don't bring anything new in terms of what Deshaun can and can't do on the field and what he brings to the team. However, with that being said, I got to tell you, man, I'm really impressed with the fact that as the world gets stuck on the whole Deshaun Jackson story and everything, Chip has been busy. He's the one coach who's been to the most pro days, and has probably built some really good relationships and stuff. Those are the things I've been paying attention to the most, and have really got me fired up, because I'm like, well, you know what? Okay, I don't necessarily know what's going on, and at this point, I'm ready to move on. And so I'm excited about what we have, what's going on now. My question for you, Dave,
yes,
is I understand that this is a deep draft as far as the wide receiver goes.
Yes.
How much talent do you think is still going to be available come the second round, the third round, after we pick?
Yeah. You know, you're talking about at the wide receiver position?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, thanks for the call, Marcel. We take a look at the Eagles draft picks. They've got six of them through the seven rounds thus far. We'll see if there are moves made to acquire more picks. The only thing I can go on, and I am not a draft expert, I do not claim to be a draft expert. We have heard what Howie has said, and Howie Roseman has said that in each round, as he evaluates this draft, there's quality at wide receiver throughout. So is there more quality at the top of the draft? Yeah, sure. You're looking for big players who can run. I mean, that's your ultimate goal. This player right here, Sammy Watkins, he could be a top five pick. He ain't going to be an Eagle. There's no way the Eagles are going up to number five to get him. Mike Evans, Texas A&M, a top 10 pick, likely. Could the Eagles get up that far? It would take quite a package to move up to get into the top 10. Then there's another group of players, including, you know, Beckham and Cooks and Marquise Lee and all of these players who are, you know, said to be very, very highly rated. Penn State's got the product Robinson, who's a talented player who dropped a lot of weight and ran well at his pro day. So, from what I can tell, and again, I'm not a draft expert, but just reading all of these accounts, a lot of wide receivers. And when I look at wide receiver, and this is me, I mean, the Eagles need to get, whether it's a veteran in free agency, whether it's a draft pick or player after the draft, they're going to need, and they will get multiple players to compete at wide receiver. You know, you're going to carry, 13 or so within that 90-man roster. So there will be moves made, obviously, at the wide receiver position. At what point, I do not know. All right, today is our first day of Eagles live in this offseason. The offseason conditioning program started today, is ongoing. We'll have some player interviews. We'll catch up with what's going on in the locker room. We return to the air on Tuesday at noon, and we'll be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. So make sure you tune in, and let's get this party started, if you will, and get ready for the draft on May 8th. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Eagles Live today. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.